This evening, our brother has asked that we read from John chapter 5, verses 33 to 47 there. John chapter 5, 33 to the end of the chapter. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye have not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive not honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For hath ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? With this scripture on our thoughts, let's kneel for prayer.
You know, I don't feel so bad when I'm studying, but when I get up front here, it makes a difference. I feel pretty small. I can never take the place of Brother Duane, who is supposed to be preaching tonight. He asked me to take his place, and he asked another brother too, it refused. So I'm going to try to do this tonight. And we're going to look at the names of Jesus. But before that, I want to just look at John chapter 5, which our brother read. And verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think that you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that ye might have life. And he's the giver of life, the only one that we can go to. His names all really talk about who he is and what he should mean to us. You know, most of us have three names, a first, a middle, and a last name. Now, why do we have middle names? I never could understand that, right? But you know, I was glad for a middle initial one time. We got a payment book. We were going to pay our house a second time, I guess. We already had it paid for, but we got this payment book. But after closer look, the middle initial was D. Mine is G. I was glad for that. You know, sometimes we have nicknames, too. And that even adds to our names. And I have two. Some people call me Bob. Some people call me Brother Bobby. I like that. It makes me feel pretty young yet when they say Brother Bobby. And some of us may even have more than five names. Some of us choose names with good meanings. like Rhoda, means a rose. Abraham, a father of many nations. We go on and on there. And in our modern society, we have very, very few people that would call their son Judas. Or because his name's so terrible. But the other one is Jesus, because that name is too wonderful. But there is one person that we had that had a lot of names, and it was Jesus. And we want to look at some of those names tonight. I just want to go over some of the names. Somebody said and wrote that he had over 200 names. I don't know how many names he had, but I just want to give you a couple from the Old Testament. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And in the New Testament, Bread, Adore, Our Shepherd, the Resurrection, the Life, Alpha, Omega, Light, Emmanuel, a Savior, a Carpenter, and a Lamb. I'm sure they would all, I'm not going to keep you through all those tonight. We're just going to look at a couple. But the one that really stands out is Jesus, isn't it? And so we want to look at Jesus first. Let's turn to Matthew 1. Matthew 1, 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, in my side reference, it says Savior. But just take notice the meaning of his name, Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. As I said at the beginning, I believe that he's the only way that we can go through for eternal life. And then Luke 1, we want to look at Luke 1, 31 and 33. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Who is this Jesus, anyhow? You know, when I think about it, when Herod, when he told the wise men, they were to tell him when they find Jesus. But of course, they were told to go another way home. And when Herod saw he was mocked, what did he do? He had all the boy babies put to death from 2 years old and under. So he had a special protection when he was young. And he was protected many times as he grew. But then, at the age of 33, he gave his life for us. But all that time in between, he was protected and could really spread forth the true gospel. Now, Jesus is the Greek form of Joshua or Jehoshua, which means Jehovah is salvation. And it's much the same as we just read here in Matthew 1:21. Jesus made the way open to us, the way to heaven. The only way to heaven is through him. Philippians, we want to read there, Philippians 2. Eight to 11, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every knee should bow. What a Savior. What a Lord. What a Jesus we have. One of the other names of Jesus, or two of them actually, is Alpha and Omega. And they really mean the beginning and the end, the first and the last, and I believe we can see everything in between. We can trust him. He doesn't change. He's the beginning and the end for us. Let's not forget that. He's going to always be there for us from the beginning to the end. And he's also called the bread, John 6:35. When we choose the Jesus way, we're going to need some encouragement. We're going to even need some nourishment. Now, where would be at a better place to get this than from the Bible itself? Or coming to the house of worship. We were blessed this morning to be in his house. We need some bread. It's a life sustainer. And as we go through our Christian walk, we need to have encouragement once in a while. We need to have that sustenance, and we need to have nourishment. And then there's the shepherd. The Bible says, I am the good shepherd. I thought that was interesting. A good shepherd. What does a good shepherd do? He's concerned about everyone, isn't he? You know, we always hear about the shepherd that had a sheep lost and was out somewhere in the mountain. And he left those 99 and went for the one. It's interesting. What did he say one time? There's 99 don't need repentance, but there's one that does. And we need to do as a good shepherd, go after that one. He seeks everyone. And you know what else he does? He'll draw us back. I'm so glad that we can come to him for forgiveness and he'll take us back. He's a good shepherd. He's not a hireling. Maybe we ought to turn to, I'm not sure where, John 10, I believe it is. The 14th verse says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and they're known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, let's go back to verse 13. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. Verse 12 says, but he that is an hireling and not the good shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth. We don't have a hireling tonight, but we have a great good shepherd. Love, a lot of love for us. We'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of the sermon. But Jesus didn't act like a hireling. He doesn't run off. He's there whenever we need him. He's there. And he's also the life. John 14:6 says, Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 5:24-25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. Resurrection life, eternal life. He came to give us life. Not this life. Yeah, this life, but eternal life. That was his purpose for coming here. Now, if you noticed, all these things that I mentioned are part of our life. If you really think about it, Jesus, the Jesus life, that until we come to glory. Now, life is in the blood. Peter calls it precious blood. It's precious. It's not just blood, but it's, why was it so precious? Why is the blood of Christ precious? Because it's there, can save, and it can keep us. Some great men's birthdays are remembered after they have said or done great things. But a remarkable thing about Jesus was, he was talked about even before he was born. People, when he did live, people were astonished at his doctrine or at his teachings. He taught with authority. Then why was he so unpopular in his day? Why do so few follow him now? I believe it was because he didn't do everything that men call greatness today. He wasn't wealthy. He wasn't a champion. He never authored a book. He was part of this book, this Bible. His close friends weren't celebrities. He was born and he lived in obscurity. He didn't become great while he was here on earth, but God gave his divine approval. "This is my beloved Son," he said one day, "in whom I am well pleased." That was what God said about his Son. We want to just take a few minutes and see what Peter... Now, Peter was one of the disciples. He was one of Jesus' followers, one of his disciples. He was one of the 12. And he was with Jesus pretty often. Now, let's look at Matthew 26:31. Matthew 26:31. "Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But when after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And then you know the story. Jesus said, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said again, Though I die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And likewise also said all the disciples. You're going to desert me tonight, Jesus said. You'll be offended because of me. Peter said, If I'm the only one, I'll still follow you. Peter had good intentions. I believe he meant what he said. But Peter didn't realize human frailty, human failures. You know, when Peter said, Though I would die for thee, yet I wouldn't deny thee. That's the way each of us should feel, isn't it, right? We should all feel that way. The hymn writer says, I have decided to follow Jesus, and there's no turning back. No turning back. No, even if no one joins me, still I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him. I'll go with him all the way. I see love and pity coming from Jesus. You won't do it, Peter. You won't do it. Even tonight you're gonna deny me. And we are probably saying, that wouldn't be me. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't deny him. And I say tonight to each one of us, don't be too sure. Don't be too sure. You know, I'm glad tonight that we can repent. We can be forgiven. Praise God that we can be forgiven. And Peter's story doesn't stop there. I believe when Peter saw that look of love from Jesus that night, I believe that was a change in Peter's life. I believe that was a turning point in his life. I just want to read a little bit from Peter's writings. You know, he went on and he wept bitterly. He was sorry that he was a poor example for the Lord. Are you a poor example sometimes for the Lord? Am I? Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter 2. To whom coming, as unto a lively stone, disallowed indeed of God, indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And ye also, all of us here tonight, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And we could pick out many verses. But I think we got the message. We got the lesson. Peter repented. And he came back to Jesus. And I can see Jesus smiling when he came back to him. Another one was a disciple of his. Who do you think that was? Judas. He was also a disciple of Jesus. And I often wondered why Jesus even chose him. Jesus must have seen some promise in Judas. You know, to understand the love of Jesus more, we can look at the light of Jesus, at the life of Judas. In spite of the awfulness we read about Judas, Jesus reached out to him in love. He even washed his feet. For 3 years, Judas walked with Jesus just like the other disciples did. But somewhere, sometime, he sold out to Satan. Yet Jesus washed his feet. Isn't that something? Great love. I know we hear a lot about love. But I want to tell you, there's no love like the love of Jesus. On the night that Judas betrayed Jesus, Satan took complete control of him, complete control. Listen tonight, don't toy with Satan. We're no match for him. We can only overpower him with the Lord's power. Jesus knew that Judas would betray him. Even prophecy told that back in Psalm 41, verse 9. It was clear that Jesus would be betrayed by a close friend. Psalm 41, 9 says, "Yea, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." We can learn from this example of Judas that it's possible to be near Jesus and yet be lost. Why did Judas betray Jesus? We can only suppose why. Maybe Jesus would be hurried. Maybe he thought Jesus would be, it would hurry him to take over the Messiah of the people that the people were looking for. Maybe he only thought of the money involved. Maybe he thought that Jesus would get out of this predicament. I rather think that he might have thought this, that Jesus is going to get out of this, even if he would betray him. Whatever the reason, dear ones, tonight, it all turned out for our good. It's there for our good. Somehow I feel sorry for Judas because he betrayed innocent blood. But if Jesus wouldn't have died, we know what would it be. We'd be without hope. But Judas never really repented. The Bible says, I believe, he repented himself. When you and I sin, let's repent quickly. May we be humble enough to cry out to God for forgiveness. When Judas went out, it was night. But it was more than physical night for him. It was eternal darkness for Judas. It makes me shudder, doesn't it, you? Judas took his own life and sealed his doom. Let's not be a pretender like Judas Iscariot was. Two of Jesus' followers I say these things tonight that we don't be like them. Unless you be like Peter. I know we're going to fail. Sometimes we do. And I'm glad that Peter could repented and came back. Jesus. There's something about that name. Why does Jesus have so many names? You know, they can, all of them together, can hardly describe who Jesus is. He has tremendous love for us. He had tremendous love for the people of his day. He doesn't want anyone to perish. Jesus paid the price for our redemption. He didn't have any sin of his own. So he could be our sin bearer. Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior weary and worn, facing for sinners, you and me. Death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. You know, there's no one on earth, none of us, can say that we're good enough for heaven. The way of the cross leads home. And in my mind's eye tonight, I can see Jesus looking down from the cross. Just think about that a little. Looking down from the cross at me. My. I can't comprehend it hardly. He's looking down at the cross. At you and at me. I often think, the second verse of one of the books, one of the songs in the Black Hymnal. When it says, near the cross, a trembling soul. Love and mercy found me. It was there, the bright and morning star, shed its beams around me. Near the cross, a trembling soul. Love and mercy found me. I suppose we could even say one of the names of Jesus is love, couldn't we? One of his names is love. He loves us with an everlasting love, and even when we're not so lovely. Is Jesus dear to us tonight?
Let's all stand for closing prayer.